I'm an alcoholic. My name is Robert.
Hi, Robert.
My sobriety date is May 20th of 2012. I have completed the 12 steps with a sponsor, worked the 12 traditions. I have a home group. I have service positions. And I try to stay involved with AA, you know. This is not my first time or second time or third time. It's like my fourth time having a sobriety date. Fortunately, this is the longest amount of sobriety time that I have. And today I can say that it's the longest time in my life that I've been sober. I grew up with a good family. My parents raised me, and we're a religious family, not LDS. Something else. And so I was raised with the God concept. And later on, once I got involved with AA, I thought the God idea would be very easy. But I'll describe that later. It became actually very difficult. Anyway, my dad has the alcoholic gene from the family. I got it from him. My grandma was a crazy alcoholic lady. But not really. She was really sweet. But supposedly she had the alcoholic gene in her, you know. So I could kind of blame her, or I could actually blame other lineage. Anyway, little bit of what it was like, you know, my dad was offering me beer and different liquors that he was drinking when I was like really young. He'd be like, oh, you want to try a sip? I'd be like, yeah, sure, you know, run up, take a little sip, be like, oh, it's nasty, you know. His favorite drink was Heineken. I never saw him drink anything else, unless we were at somebody else's house, because then he drank whatever they drank. Which is probably where I got that idea from. And he'd offer me like Courvoisier or some other liqueur that he had through the night. And, you know, that's kind of where I saw, like, I saw my dad. He drank a lot, but he could still handle himself. And I wanted to be like that. I wanted to be able to drink a lot, be able to handle myself. Anyway, when I was 14, I had my first drunk. My friend got me a bottle of Parrot Bay coconut rum. We went and watched the movie Jeepers Creepers. And I don't remember the movie. I don't remember what happened that night. All I remember is starting to swig on that coconut rum. And I was like, ooh, it tastes good. So I pretty much chugged the whole bottle. And shortly after that is kind of when I just zoned everything out, blacked out. Supposedly that night, as the movie was playing, I was kind of sitting there starting to shake, and my friend taps me and he says, hey, go to the bathroom. So as I got up and turned, I puked up the whole aisle and then just kind of kept on walking, and then spent the rest of the time in the theater, in the bathroom, and woke up the next day, this horrible hangover as I know it now. And I thought after that, I was like, yes, I want to be able to conquer this. Anyway, that was the first time I got drunk. The last time I got drunk was May 19th of 2012. My friends had invited me earlier that day up to a barbecue up at the beach up on the North Shore. And I was like, yeah, sure. And I told my mom, I was like, Mom, you should come to this barbecue. It's getting put on by this family. They got friends from Cali that are in town. So she's like, yeah, she was actually excited. She's like, wow, you're inviting me to a bonfire with your friends? How sweet. Back in my mind, I'm like, yeah, now I've got a designated driver. I can go and get drunk. So it was like, all right, I'm going to go do this. And that night, I was drinking rum and Sierra Mist, and I ended up blacking out again because that was my MO. I drank for the effect of alcohol, and I liked the effect that it had on me. I lost all sorts of I lost that bit of me that cared about what other people thought about me. It's like, once I started drinking, it just didn't matter. I was that really funny guy. I would try to be the life of the party or whatever I could, and just try to make things better, you know? And I was that really happy-go-lucky kind of kid. But that night, blacked out, and I vaguely remember a phone call with one of my bosses on the way home, and then woke up the next day, and I was, again, all hungover, had a headache and everything, and I walked up to my parents' house because I was living right next door, and walked into the kitchen. My mom was making dinner, was making breakfast, and I went and sat at the kitchen table, and I kind of looked up at her, and she was kind of looking at me with this almost disgusted look on her face. And I had to ask her, I was like, Mom, what happened last night? And like, that look on her face was like, It's like, I can't even describe it, you know? But it was at that point where I was like, yeah, okay, I'm done. It was actually when I woke up, I was like, oh crap, I don't know what I did. I've got to go ask, I'm done. Because I'd already been through AA a few times. Anyway, after that, I decided that, hey, I have to go get back involved with Alcoholics Anonymous. The first time I was involved was from the courts. Second time was with the treatment center. Third time was with a clean and sober house that I was at. So the first three times I was signing papers. I would go to meetings, get my papers signed for somebody else. But this last time I was like, you know what? I went back and I was like, no, this time is for me. People were at the meetings to be like, oh, do you have a paper? Do you need a paper signed? I was like, no. And they would kind of look at me like all weird, you know? Be like, oh, you're here and you don't need a paper signed and you're how old? Because like back home, it's like you didn't go to the meetings at my age without having to get a paper signed. Anyway, I decided to dive back in to AA. I got in service at that time, and there was a WIPOC camp out that was coming to the island, and so I got involved with that. And then I got a sponsor, started working the steps. And then about 6 months into my sobriety, I had to make a move. There were some things going on at home. And fortunately, my sister was living out here, and she was like, I need to move back home, and what do you think about coming over here, switching me places? I was like, sure, that sounds like a great idea. So when I was 25 years old, I made a move from Hawaii to Utah at the beginning of winter. It was an interesting experience, going from somewhere that's like 80 to 85 year-round, 70% humidity, 30% chance of rain every day, even in the middle of February, and sunshine, blue sky, surf any day I wanted to, and to come out here at the beginning of winter where all of a sudden it was like, 9 degrees one day, or it was like, got down to single digits, and like bundled up with like 3 hoodies. I'm like, God, this is crazy. But I had it in my head that, you know, I was going to be involved with AA when I got out here. Because that's what I knew was my saving, which is what would save my life. Because with me and alcohol, things always got progressively worse. If I pick up a drink, I'll start making little mistakes here and there. And then once it starts becoming a regular habit, I'll just always make worse and worse and worse mistakes. My life has always got worse. It's always been on a downhill slope whenever I started drinking. Since I've gotten sober, my life has been getting better and better and better. I got out here, I got a job, I got a home group. I actually went to a bunch of different meetings when I got out here. Found a home group, which is a group that I respect. I respect the way that they handle the group. I respect the men in the group. I respect the stories that everybody can share. And then I asked one of the men in that group to be my sponsor. And of course, the whole time I'm involved with, it was Salty Paw at the time. I was like, hey, I need the young people. So I was like, what's the WIPOC group out here? Went and got started hanging out with them. And then, of course, we got hit with, we won the bid for Swacky Paw, which is the Southwestern Area Conference of Young People and Alcoholics Anonymous, if you haven't heard about it. There was a bid that was put for the 6 Southwestern states, and Salt Lake got it. I was like, okay, great, you know? I was like, sure, I'll stick around for that, too. Went to the election meeting for different positions and like stood up for a position. I was like, great, I got it. And the things that I've learned in this position over the last year has been pretty phenomenal. I've learned to let things go. That's been the biggest thing. I am not in control at any time. And then there's times where it's like, I mess up in my position. And it's like, oh, I got to see what happens when I mess up. Then it's like, next time I'll do better. And then next time doesn't better. And it's like, just sometimes there's this frustration, you know? But at the same time, it's like I have this relief once everything happens and everything just kind of goes smoothly. And it's like, hey, you know what? That's the next best thing to saying, hey, I'm not in control. You know, things happen sometimes for a reason, sometimes not. The reason sometimes is because I'm lazy and just didn't do it. But for the most part, you know, with this program, I believe that God's in control. You know, talking about God, the thing that I came to learn or came to believe for myself was I had this concept of God as I was raised religiously. Once I got into AA, I had already left the religious aspect of my life. And coming into AA, I thought being able to just pick that up again would be the cure. It ended up not being the cure. I ended up going through like a really hard time of sobriety, having to deal with the whole God concept and what I thought of my higher power and how it would work in my life. Fortunately, I was able to speak with some of the men in the program, and I was telling one of my friends back home, this was like my second time getting sober, and I was telling him about these things that I had, and he was like, you know what? Why don't you obey good, orderly direction? Why don't you let that be your God for a little while? I was like, that's a good idea. Maybe I'll try that, you know? So I tried that for a little while, and it worked. I tried that this time getting sober, and it worked, you know? It's these little things that work every day that I can continue to use. They continue to work. And as soon as something stops working, then sure, I'm going to let it go. But for me, following good, orderly direction, following somebody else's direction that's not mine, because my best thinking landed me in AA, you know? And I can only do so much. And what I can do, though, is try to be a member in good standing. You know, as long as I can continue to put one foot in front of the other, continue to stay sober one day at a time, continue to follow the good early direction that's given to me from different people, then everything seems to turn out pretty good. Steps 1, 2, and 3 in my life are something that I work every day. You know, I had to admit, first of all, that I was powerless over that one substance, you know, because that one substance led to a bunch of other little things, which ultimately led to this great mudslide down, you know. And then coming to believe in something greater than myself, if you can't believe in something greater than yourself, go to Hawaii, go to California, go to Florida. I'd say go to Hawaii. Go to Oahu, go to the North Shore. There's a beach there where there's a pipeline break. Go stand out in the water, go wade out in the water till you're about waist deep and fight those waves. Or you could just go anywhere in Hawaii, go fight the waves. You're going to find something greater than yourself. There's something more powerful than you out there. And then you get to define what that is. You know, that's kind of where I found my higher power when I was at a really low point. And then, you know, just turning my will and my life over to God. I had a hard time understanding what my will and my life was. And then I heard this one old guy with some crazy amount of sobriety. He said at this one meeting, he's like, he asked his sponsor, what was my will and my life? His sponsor told him, it's his thoughts and his actions. If I can turn my thoughts and my actions over to somebody else throughout the day, over to my higher power, then, you know, I might be able to have a chance to do something better, you know, to get out of myself for a little bit. So I don't have to be so selfish, so self-driven these days, and I can try to do something for somebody else that might benefit them. But anyway, my time has been short in sobriety compared to other people's, but I like to think that, you know, I've learned a lot as I continue to learn. The day I stop learning is probably going to be the day I die. You know, today my life is pretty good. You know, I've got a job that I can go to, that I work Monday through Friday. I'm off on the weekends. I'm in school. It's slick. It's pretty good, you know. The promises of the ninth step promises, there's been a few of those that have come true in my life, you know, and pretty grateful to have the life that I have today. I'm glad that everybody's here. I'm glad that everybody that's here showed up and that we're going to have fun tonight, and I'm looking forward to it, and I'm just completely grateful, you know. If you're having a hard time, reach out to somebody else. Share your troubles with somebody else. That's kind of what this program is for. I heard somebody say once that if I share my troubles, if I share my hurt with somebody else, that takes half the power away from it. Because now all of a sudden somebody else is sharing that same hurt and feelings. So, I mean, it helps. It's worked for me. As I'm sure it's worked for countless other people. And I'm just glad everybody's here. I'm glad I can be here. Glad I can be of service. Continually up until this conference, and you know, I'm kind of looking forward to this summer. I really enjoy the summers out here. A lot of campouts. Looking forward to the Four Corners campout coming up next month, and then God campout in July. I'm looking forward to the couple conferences that we have here in Salt Lake. We got the SWACIPA conference, we got UCPA conference, and it's just like, man, some good times are happening. as long as I can keep myself involved with AA, I can continue to have these good times. You know, I can always have something to look forward to. It's when I start to separate and alienate myself that I'm like, all right, now I'm going to start living in selfishness. Now I'm going to start, like, doing my own thing because it's what I want to do. That's when I start to feel miserable and alone. But, you know, when I get to be around here and help somebody else and just be a part of, that's when I feel the most, like, love and just being a part of, you know, it's something great instead of being alone. But, yeah, if you're having a problem, reach your hand out and say, hey, I need some help. And stick around. Keep coming back. This thing tends to work, you know. If it ever doesn't work, you can go back to what you're doing before. I'm going to do that. If this program stops working, I'll go back. But until then, I'll keep coming back. And that's all I got. Thank you.